My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. Anxiety, fear, panic, debilitating disorders that affect 40 million Americans over the age of 18 every year. More than 18% of the population struggle with these issues, making it difficult for them to live fully, freely, and lovingly. Many of us suffer these to a lesser degree. My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Corinne Zupko, knows what it is to live like this and to live fear-based. Corinne personally struggled with debilitating anxiety for nearly 3 decades. Through this difficult path came a series of radical revelations and healings that allowed her to move past her fears and find the miracle of light and love that is the birthright of everyone. Corinne is a licensed counselor and keynote speaker. She has helped thousands of individuals through her one-on-one counseling, weekly meditation classes for corporations, and the largest virtual conference of A Course in Miracles in the world through the organization Miracle Share International, which she co-founded. Her website is FromAnxietyToLove.com, and she joins me this week to discuss her new book, From Anxiety to Love. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Corinne Zupko. Good evening, Corinne.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here, and thank you for the warm welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us, because I think your message is so important in our world today. You know, your struggle with anxiety began when you were basically 1 or 2 years old. What was that like?
I know anxiety intimately from a very, very young age. When I was around 2 years old, I was diagnosed with separation anxiety disorder. So in other words, my poor mother could not leave the room without me screaming my head off. And I was just overwhelmed with fears as a child. And although I grew out of the separation anxiety, the anxiety just morphed and changed into different things, like a leaky pipe. It would spring a leak somewhere else. So the separation anxiety disorder got better, but I started developing phobias and worried about other things. So I've known anxiety for a very long time.
And how did it lead you to the path that brought you to the work that you do today? What happened when you were in college?
So being an anxious child, my mom actually always wondered if at some point I'd have to come face to face with this anxiety, this terror that was building within me. And when I was a sophomore in college, which is the age range, college years are that age range when mental health issues surface for a lot of people, and I was no exception, I learned that a student passed away very suddenly. I didn't know the student personally, but his death was so sudden and so scary to me that I remember feeling a spike of fear when I learned about his passing. I calmed myself down to get through the day, but 3 o'clock that next morning, it was literally as if I was punched in the stomach from a flood of terror and stress hormones. I remember waking up in my bunk bed, gasping for air, uncontrollably shaking, my entire body was shaking. And I was in the middle of my very first panic attack. The problem then was that I didn't know what was happening. So it was extremely scary. I thought I was dying. I felt like I was about to die. And I remember climbing down the bunk bed stairs, you know, the ladder, with my knees hardly able to support my body weight because they were just trembling so much. And I called my mom at 3 o'clock in the morning, and she magically picked up the phone, which was a miracle in and of itself. And we figured out that I was having a panic attack, and she really instilled hope in me that we would find help for me.
And what happened after that?
Well, she introduced me again to a spiritual pathway that had been very helpful already to her, that she previously tried to talk to me about. This is a spiritual pathway called A Course in Miracles. And being a defiant teenager prior to this night, I would literally cover my ears and be like, I don't want to hear the spiritual crap. Talk to me in English like you used to. I was not interested. But when I came to this, you know, my dark night of the soul, this lowest point where I was just, I felt like the rug, my world, the rug was yanked out from underneath me, and it was as if my entire world felt turned upside down. She offered it again on this phone call this night while I was panicking, saying, Corinne, I think it can help you. It's all about undoing fear and you know, healing and remembering the peace that's already in you. And I said, heck yes, I will try anything. So she offered the book, and you know, I didn't have it that night, probably the next weekend. I believe I went home that very next weekend because I just needed a change of scenery. She gave me the book then. I remember opening it, reading the first few lines. The first few lines say, nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. Mm. And that was like a mind twister. Like I had no idea what that meant, but there was something in my heart. There was almost like a dim little light that was there in my heart suddenly got brighter. It was as if some part of me recognized some truth in those words, even though intellectually I had no idea what that meant. And that little lighting up in my heart, that feeling of that return of peace, made me realize that I was onto something. It made me realize that this was a path for me. I, of course, got into therapy and was trying a lot of other things, but this was touching on the core of my fear, which was and is, I believe for all of us, a belief that we are separate from our source. And once this belief starts to get undone, this is where the anxiety falls away. So my journey began then.
We'll talk a little bit more about Course in Miracles in a little bit, but you say that your anxiety journey, the most terrifying experience of your life, also became your greatest teacher. Explain that, please.
So anxiety is so painful. It hurts. There were times when I never thought I'd feel normal again, and I spent so much time hating my anxiety and just wanting it to go away. I didn't want to feel it. But having that attitude changed nothing. If anything, that desire of wanting to push it away, that strain, only created more anxiety. So I became willing to see that anxiety differently, and rather than really expending a lot of my energy wanting it to not be here, I shifted into a mindset that it is here, and rather than see it as my greatest, you know, horrible thing that's happening in my life, I could see it instead as a teacher. And so it showed me as a teacher that my current thought system was very much based on fear. And in being able to see that, that is what empowered me to want another thought system, a new thought system, and a thought system based on love. And that's why A Course in Miracles was like just a perfect fit for me. So this anxiety really motivated me to go as deeply as I could into my own spiritual practice because I knew that that's where the source of healing needed to come from for myself.
That was a big lesson for you, wasn't it?
Absolutely. The biggest lesson of my life, for sure. Anxiety has been my greatest teacher ever.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about A Course in Miracles, a little further about it. Give our listeners who are not familiar with it a little of the background on A Course in Miracles.
So A Course in Miracles was published, I don't know the exact year, I'm going to guess it was sometime in the 70s, but leading up to that time, there were two scribes. There was actually one scribe. Her name's Helen Schuckman, and I think we could also call Bill Thetford the other scribe because their work together was just, they needed each other, and they both had a role to play. Helen Schuckman and Bill Thetford were both psychologists at Columbia University School of Medicine, I believe. I know it was Columbia. And there was a lot of conflict in their department. And one day they said, you know, there's got to be a better way. And Bill and Helen agreed to find it. Helen started having very vivid dreams, like psychic experiences. And essentially, as my understanding of the story goes, and my understanding is not complete, but she heard a voice that said, this is A Course in Miracles. Please take notes. And she thought she was going crazy because here she is a psychologist. So she thinks she's having like a schizophrenic break. But Bill Thetford encouraged her to take down what she was hearing, and the result of what she heard comprised the pages of A Course in Miracles. And if you dive into this book, it was not written by a human. You can just, the thought system that it's teaching is so different from our thought system that we are familiar with in this world that it needed to come from another place in order to help us. So it's a really, really powerful and radical book.
And we would call that a channeled work, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. 100% channeled work. So she heard this voice and would take down exactly what it said.
And so you have these two people who are basically scientists, psychologists, and they're getting this information. She's receiving the information. He's encouraging her and helping her in the transcription of this information. It's pretty much a miracle unto itself, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, with him encouraging her and her taking down what she was hearing in shorthand, she would dictate it to him. He would type it up and eventually, you know, there was some editing and the book was born.
Absolutely. What were some of the other lessons that came from A Course in Miracles, apart from that wonderful statement that nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists, and herein lies the peace of God?
Oh my gosh, there are so many and more. You know, the whole book has those nuggets throughout it, but there are lessons for every single day of the year. The workbook contains 365 lessons in addition to the text, which is in the beginning, and the manual for teachers, which is in the back part of the book. One of my favorite other quotes is that if you knew who walks beside you on the way that you have chosen, fear would be impossible. Yes. Isn't that so comforting?
Absolutely. Please tell our listeners briefly how they can find out more about A Course in Miracles in your organization.
A Course in Miracles is available, again, it's a book. It's available anywhere books are sold. There's multiple different editions to choose from, so you can go to Amazon or a bookstore and pick it up. And MiracleShare is a website that I've co-founded. We do a large virtual conference, and you can go to MiracleShare.org or MiracleShareConference.org to learn more.
And through the miracle of digital technology, I'm speaking with Corinne Zumko, who's the author of the new book, From Anxiety to Love, and we'll be back with more of Corinne after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Alaya, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, everyone. This is Shea Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shea Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
What does Meals on Wheels do? They deliver meals and smiles to homebound seniors. But Meals on Wheels does something else. They turn a volunteer's lunch break into a meaningful experience.
As small and as simple as the relationship is between a volunteer and a client of Meals on Wheels, it's really so impactful. I never thought that 5 minutes could make so much difference in the lives of two people, but it has.
Drop off a warm meal and get more than you expect. Volunteer at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. That's AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. Brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest is Corinne Zupko. She's the author of From Anxiety to Love. Corinne, before the break, we were talking a little bit about A Course in Miracles. What is a miracle, and can anybody experience that?
Absolutely. There's actually a teaching in the Course that says miracles are natural. When they do not occur, something has gone wrong. So miracles are accessible to all of us always. And the way A Course in Miracles defines a miracle is in one of two ways, and these definitions are interrelated. The most common definition that we know in the Course community is that a miracle is a shift in perception from a fearful perception to a loving perception. So it's that moment that we choose to perceive differently. We choose to perceive with vision, with the eyes of love instead of with fear. We could think about that as an internal miracle. That's something that happens within ourselves. But actually, in the book itself, there's a much more common definition of a miracle. It's referred to much more frequently than that definition that I just shared. And that is that miracles are expressions of love. So every time we express love to another person, or, you know, just love in general, these, you can think about these as external miracles. These are miracles that we're performing every time we are compassionate, every time we express love, every time we express care to another person. And imagine what the world would be like if we were walking around committed to expressing love. We are hijacked often by this other thought system in our mind, which is the fearful thought system, or what A Course in Miracles calls the ego thought system, and that's what I refer to it as also in my book. And it's not loving. It's full of conflict, attack, and defense. And just turn on the news and you see, you know, the ego in action. So miracles are natural. When they do not occur, something has gone wrong, and all that's gone wrong is that we've chosen to listen to the ego again.
You know, it's interesting that if you take the foundation, the foundational message of every major faith and religion, it has that message in it. Just love one another. Take care of one another.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And that's why I feel like, you know, A Course in Miracles is just one pathway of many. But I know people from all different religions who have studied the Course, and they say the same thing, like, oh, this is just like my religion. This is like the heart of my religion. And of course, there are things that are different about A Course in Miracles, but you're absolutely right. It's all about expressing love.
Now, A Course in Miracles refers to God. Does one have to have a specific belief in God or in a divinity in order to engage in the Course in Miracles?
I think you have to believe in love. I think you have to believe in something greater than just yourself, but you don't have to believe in God to benefit from these teachings, because this word God, we've got a lot of baggage associated to that word. You know, the things have been done in this world in the name of God that have been horrible things. And I define God in my book, you know, I'm not referring to a dude with a white beard who sits upstairs and, you know, orchestrates things down here. When I use the word God, I am referring to love with a capital L. It's the love of the universe. You know, it's this stuff. It's what we're made of. It's what connects us. And it's a love that's greater than what we experience on a daily basis. So I believe that you don't have to believe in God, but you do have to believe in love, and that love is worth cultivating.
I remember those Bernie Taupin, Elton John lyrics, love is the opening door, love is what we're here for, no one could offer you more. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
That's really what it's about, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
Now, you say in your book, From Anxiety to Love, that there are two parts of the mind. There's the insane part and the sane part. Give us a little definition on that.
Yeah, so really, actually, we've already been talking about this, because in an anxious mind, which was my mind, which I think many of us can relate to, and by the way, anxiety exists on a continuum, meaning at the high end of the continuum, and I think you referenced this in your introduction, the high end of the continuum are the intense anxiety disorders. The low end of the continuum, we all struggle with anxiety occasionally. We all are visited by fears. So we all know this. And the insane part of our minds is the part that believes that we are separate selves. It's this part that thinks that this is all that there is, that, you know, we have to defend ourselves in order to survive. We have to attack in order to survive. This is insane thinking. And this is the ego thought system. This is the fear-based thought system. So that's the insane part of our mind. And that's where all of our troubles come from. And, you know, anxiety is a fear-based problem. And I think all problems stem from fear. The sane part of our minds is the loving thought system. It's the part of our minds that remembers the truth, that remembers that we are connected, that that love and light is what we are. This is our sane part. And this part is very present. But A Course in Miracles actually teaches that the ego always speaks first and loudest. So that insane voice, so to speak, those thoughts in our mind are like constant, you know, they're there, like, oh, you should be better. You should be further along than you are. Or, oh, they're a jerk. You know, all these thoughts that we, you know, the person cuts you off and immediately we go into that, that anger place. We need to learn through practicing how to say, oh, you know, thank you, ego, or thank you, fearful voice. I hear you, but I'm going to choose again, and I'm going to choose to listen and turn to this part of my mind that remembers love, because this is where peace comes from. This is where anxiety has to fall away. There cannot be anxiety in perfect love. It's impossible. So the more we embrace and remember the love that we are, the more our fears and anxieties will fall away.
And you refer to that same voice as the inner therapist.
Yes. So the inner therapist in A Course in Miracles is referred to as your inner teacher, Holy Spirit, your inner guidance system. And so I like to use the term inner therapist because the Course actually says that Spirit, Holy Spirit, is the only true therapist. We have this part of our minds that remembers truth, and it's our work to listen to this. It's our work to tune into this. And so our inner therapist is the part of our own mind that we can work with to experience miracles, to come back to love and to express that love that we're made of.
And the concept of Holy Spirit is really interesting, because when we think of it from Christianity, the Holy Spirit is that Spirit of Jesus, the indwelling Spirit of God. But one does not have to have a specific Christian bent on things in order to embrace that. And, you know, I had a wonderful expression to me many years ago. I was in the beginning of my rebirth of my spiritual path. I would attend these salons in Brooklyn, New York, when I was in my mid to late 30s, that were held in the home of this woman, a very wonderful woman. She was well into her 80s at the time. And some of the New Age material that was being presented, I couldn't relate to. And one evening she called me. She said, may I speak with you? And I said, of course. And in a very loving, motherly way, she said to me, you know, Victor, God does not require that we be holy, but God would love for each of us to be whole. That changed my life when she said that to me. That was a miracle for me at that point. And that concept of wholeness is really what we're talking about.
It absolutely is. That concept of wholeness is what we are talking about, because we walk around thinking that we are not whole and that we are lacking and that we, you know, have a lot of healing to do. Yet we are, this is one of the things that I love about the Course, it is teaching us that we are whole in this moment. We just have to remember that. We just have to accept that. And our wholeness is found not through anything outside of ourselves, not through a job or through a thing or through, you know, living in a perfect place, but our wholeness is found within. We can only find that peace of love of God within ourselves.
Absolutely. Why is it so difficult for so many of us? There's so many people I've met in my path in life who are amazing healers and loving and wonderful people, yet they seem not to be able to express or extend that love to themselves. Why is that?
That's a wonderful question. And I think that extending that love to ourselves is one of the hardest things to do. I know that I also come from training in mindfulness, and one of the mindfulness practices is metta meditation or loving kindness meditation. And when I've led meditations like those before, people often report that when they're asked to give that love to themselves, that that's where they struggle. And from a Course perspective, the Course would say that we are carrying around unconscious fear and guilt, unconscious, because we believe we've actually pulled off a separation from our source. We actually believe we've done something terribly, terribly wrong. And so we're not worthy of that divine love. You know, we're not worthy of that. And this journey of experiencing miracles and healing is to recognize that we've actually done nothing. We've not changed love. We've not changed creation. We've not changed anything by seemingly, you know, being in this separate state right now. It's all about awakening to the fact that we are actually already home and already whole. So I believe that that inability to express that love for ourselves is fueled by this unconscious fear or guilt.
And how do you encourage someone in that position to find that love for themselves within?
I encourage people to look at any belief that you have in your mind that you are not worthy. There's a quote in A Course in Miracles that says, nothing that you do or think or say or make or something like that establishes your worth. Your worth is established by God. So if we can, again, embody that just for a split second and recognize that nothing out there is going to establish our worth has already been established and it is unchanged, it is still there. And again, we just have to embrace it. So any negative thought that you can catch that you say to yourself, any thought of like, oh, you know, I'm no good at this, or I should be further along on my spiritual pathway, I would encourage people to, number one, recognize those negative thoughts. Number two, attribute those thoughts to the ego thought system, not yourself, but your ego, and be willing to see that differently.
Beautiful. My guest is Corin Zupko. She's the author of the new book, From Anxiety to Love. Corin, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you.
My book is available anywhere books are sold. It's on Amazon. It is on Barnes & Noble, IndieBound, all over, and in bookstores. And my website is the same name. It is FromAnxietyToLove.com.
And what can readers and listeners find on your website?
I have a From Anxiety to Love podcast. I have blog posts. I have a 3-part crash course in undoing anxiety with A Course in Miracles for free. And I just released a meditation CD that corresponds to all the meditations in the book. So that's on my website as well.
Wonderful. And we'll be back with more of Corin Zupko and From Anxiety to Love after these words from the OM Times Radio Network.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Are you in an interfaith relationship and thinking of getting married? For 18 years, Reverend Lori Sue Brockway has been creating personalized, loving, and romantic ceremonies for couples of all faiths and cultural backgrounds. Reverend Lori Sue's sensitivity to the needs of interfaith couples is reflected in the compassionate and inclusive way she addresses the concerns of parents and families. Reverend Lori Sue is also the author of several best-selling books on interfaith weddings and wedding vows. Selected as one of the top interfaith officiants by New York Magazine, Reverend Lori Sue serves couples in the New York metropolitan area and beyond. Find out more at her website, yourinterfaithwedding.com.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've accidentally cut your daughter's bangs unevenly. Do you A, line things up a centimeter from her hairline?
Man.
No, sweatbands are so hot right now. Everyone's wearing them, like that basketball player and that other basketball player.
B, get spiritual.
Mom, where did all the mirrors go?
A reflection could never capture our true selves.
Huh?
Beauty is within.
C, look on the bright side.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or D, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
Ta-da! Twinsies!
I kind of love it. As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Mm-hmm. Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this evening, Corin Zupko. She's the author of From Anxiety to Love. Corin, we were talking about, prior to the break, the concept of the inner therapist. How does one come in touch with their inner therapist? How does one develop or enhance the inner therapist?
That's a wonderful question, because we are so accustomed to listening to the other thought system in our mind, the fearful thought system, that getting acquainted with and accustomed to listening to the voice of our inner therapist takes some practice. And now, when I say that the inner therapist is a voice, I really mean more of a feeling. So I experience that ego voice as thoughts. It's up in my head. It's that, you know, that monkey mind where we're just so scattered and we jump from one thing to another, and it's that fearful, judgmental voice. That's the ego voice. The inner therapist's quote-unquote voice is really more of, in my experience, I experience it more as like a feeling of resonance in my core. It's more in my torso, you know, in the core of my body. And in my book, I actually share a practice that you can use, and I can explain it right now.
Please.
For people to get in touch with their inner guidance system, with this voice of their inner therapist. And this is actually from the work of another spiritual teacher by the name of John Mark Stroud, because I interviewed him on a podcast, and he walked us through this, and it was just so helpful that I had to share it in my book as well. So it begins with just sitting quietly. And as I'm describing this, as long as you're not driving, you can do this. You can do this with your eyes open or closed.
If you're not driving, operating heavy equipment, or cooking, now's the time to listen.
Exactly. So right now, if you sit here and just tune into your body, bring your attention to the soles of your feet. Just feel the soles of your feet. And now move your attention, let's say, to your knees. And next, bring your attention to your hands. And you can see, just by doing this, we have this ability to move, for our attention to move. Our attention can change from one place to another, from, you know, our bodies, maybe even to outside of ourselves. But right now, focusing on our attention and how we can move it in our body. Now, rather than you moving your attention, let's ask our inner therapist, let's ask our inner guidance system a question. So, inner therapist, please direct my attention to the place in my body where I can most easily attune to your guidance. And just see where your attention goes. And wherever it lands, just take note of that, and we can release it and then ask that question again. Inner therapist, where in my body can I most easily attune to your guidance? And then see where your attention goes. And then if you'd like, even ask yourself a third time, inner therapist, please direct my attention to the place in my body where I can most easily tune into you. And see where your attention goes, and note this place. And if your eyes are closed, you can open them, keeping this place in mind. And I like to think about this tuning in, like tuning a radio. So in my interview with John Mark, he made this wonderful point. If you turn on the radio to a hip-hop station, you're not going to get mad that it's playing hip-hop when you want to be listening to some other kind of music. Or, you know, if you turn on the country music radio station, you're not going to get mad at it because it's not playing hip-hop. You just need to change the channel. And it's the same with these thought systems in our mind. The ego thought system, this fearful thought system, is on one channel. The voice of our inner therapist is through another channel. So in my experience, the channel of the ego is through my head. It's that chatter, that voice of chatter. The channel of my inner therapist, spirit, is through another channel, and it's experienced in a different place in my body. So for me, my spot is kind of like I said already, it's in my core, kind of in the center of my solar plexus. I get this like resonant sort of gut feeling. And other people have described, I know I worked with somebody who has done Reiki, and they said they felt their hands, you know, in this exercise. So wherever this area is in your body, when you are wanting to tune in to the voice of your inner therapist, bring your attention, just like you brought your attention to your toes or your feet when we started, bring your attention to this part of your body and ask, say, you know, inner therapist, I want to tune into you. Speak to me. I want to hear you, and bring your attention to that part of your body.
That is an absolutely wonderful exercise. You know, it's funny that you mentioned this because I was, and people who know me now probably don't realize this, but I was an angry young man. And I would have a tendency to, if someone made a statement that challenged anything that I believed or I practiced, I would respond with a statement. And that statement came from anger. It didn't come from love. It didn't come from the heart. It came from fear, basically, as we know. And in my mid to late 30s, again, when my path reopened, I found that if someone made a statement like that, I might hear in my head the response, but the inner therapist, this voice you're talking about, would tell me, and generally this came also from my solar plexus, and said, you don't have to say that right now. Don't say that right now. What value does that statement have at this moment? And it would be spontaneous, and I would not come out with what I was going to say. And it was appropriate. It was very appropriate for me not to say it. And it was just perfect, and just perfect. And I think more of us need to tune into that place.
For sure. We really do. And so think again of just how different the world would be. But we can't just, you know, say, oh, if people did this more, the world would be better. This starts with us. Just like you described your example just now, which was so beautiful. You made that choice, you know, in that moment to listen. And that's where this work happens. We all have our part to play in the healing of the world and remembering love. And we all have to moment decide, am I going to feed that voice of fear? Am I going to add fear and strengthen fear to the world? Or am I going to be a light worker, a love worker? Am I going to choose to listen to this voice of love within me and follow that and trust that instead of perpetuating the fear?
In From Anxiety to Love, you say that in order to wake up from a nightmare of anxiety, we have to first recognize that it's a nightmare. Please explain that.
Yeah, so we can actually get kind of comfortable in our misery. Something, you know, becomes familiar, a state of mind, let's say, is there a lot, like anxiety, and we can actually get kind of comfortable in it. And the piece that we have to look at here is that there are benefits to our negative states. To give you an example, and I know this can be one of those things, you know, when you said that you know, you're an angry young man, the ego in our minds is angry. So this can anger that ego part of our minds. But there's positive payoffs to all of our negative behaviors. So for me, I realized the benefit to keeping my anxiety was that, number one, I was using it as an excuse. Rather than just learning to say no in certain circumstances, I'd be like, oh, I don't feel good, you know, no, I don't want to. It was a benefit to me because I had it as like a crutch. I had it to lean on instead of just learning how to say no. So we have to get honest about where we might get benefits from our negative states and recognize that we don't want those anymore, you know, that the negative state is not worth it. It's not making us happy. And we have to commit ourselves to wanting to find another way. We have to truly, truly want another way of being. And so with that also, it's very easy to blame, and it's not as easy to take responsibility. So I do feel that we have to recognize that, you know, blame perpetuates our nightmares, and that when we take personal responsibility for ourselves, our state of mind, when we take that responsibility, that can help lead us out of the nightmare as well, because it can be much easier to complain rather than, you know, take action and do something to improve our situation.
How do you teach people to own who they are?
Oh, wonderful question. I teach people to own who they are through connecting with their inner therapist, because that is who they are, that's helping them connect to who they are. I help people connect to who they are through meditation, through getting quiet, through learning to listen to the inner therapist's voice, and really through undoing fear. So my entire book consists of all of the lessons and insights that I learned to work myself, based on Course principles, Course Miracles principles, to work myself out of anxiety into peace. And so the steps, the shifts, everything that I have benefited from is what I help other people come to find in themselves as well. Ultimately, it is not about me teaching anyone anything. It's about people learning how to listen to their own inner guidance system, their own inner teacher, their own inner therapist themselves. That's where the real healing happens.
Listen, are you going to put therapists out of business because people are going to go to their inner therapist? Come on, what's going on here?
I'm from a counseling background. I'm a licensed counselor, and I'm a counselor educator, so I teach now students how to be therapists. So I'm pro-therapy. When we are so caught in fear, our inner therapist can speak through others when we can't hear it for ourselves. So earthly therapy, having a therapist, was key in my healing journey. I needed to sort through things on this level of the world and, look at my thoughts. And a good therapist will help you do that. So your inner therapist does not mean that you don't do regular therapy. They can work really well together if you'll let them.
Absolutely. And I know several wonderful therapists who are highly intuitive and are able to tap in to their clients' inner therapists and help in the healing process.
Beautiful. And therapists love my book, which has been so amazing. I've already spoken a number of times to professional audiences, and they're just eating this up. It's another way to help clients.
My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Corinne Zupko. She's the author of From Anxiety to Love, just a wonderful book. And we'll be back with more of Corinne after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Excuse me, I know you have a 9 o'clock, so I'll keep this short. I'm the business suit in the back of your closet. You wore me nearly every day before your office went, quote, casual. I used to be the CEO of your closet. Now I'm just that one intern no one ever talks to. I always thought you'd circle back with me, get granular, keep me in the pipeline. But nada, nothing. Don't you remember the McKittrick presentation? You spilled coffee on me, and I still looked amazing during the breakout talkback Q&A. So, I think it's time for me to move on. I've got a great resume, and I absolutely crush it in interviews, okay? Let's make this a clean break. Shift the paradigm. The only thing I ask is that you think outside the box here and do this. Take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14, 41,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted.
I realized
he forgot his homework.
I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Mm-hmm. back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening, Corinne Zupko. She's the author of From Anxiety to Love. Corinne, we talk about, in your book, you talk about going down the ego rabbit hole. What does that mean?
Going down the ego rabbit hole is nothing more than listening to that fearful voice in our minds, and the moment we accept one of those fearful thoughts as truth, it's like a slip and slide. We're just whoop right down back into the fearful thought system. So that ego, again, is that voice of fear in our minds. It's our small self. And when we listen to it, we fall into the ego's rabbit hole, which is where it would prefer that we stay. Instead, as we are coming to recognize that it doesn't make us happy, we can choose instead to listen to that voice of love.
And the rabbit hole is the place where the nightmares dwell, isn't it?
For sure, for sure. You know, the ego thought system, I've heard many people say, oh, well, you know, the ego isn't a bad thing. You can actually love it. And I agree that the coming at the ego with an energy of, oh, you're terrible, you're not good, just kind of feeds it. I do think that that compassionate attitude, that more loving attitude is great. If we're sticking strictly to the course's view, the ego, it says the ego's not your friend, that it much prefers to keep love out of our awareness so it can keep this belief in separation going. Because what we truly are, again, are not these bodies. We are of this eternal nature that is pure love, and the ego would prefer that we don't remember that. So, again, this is semantics. It's just the course perspective, but those are just a few additional thoughts about that.
Now, in Anxiety to Love, you share many examples of meditation used for healing from anxiety. What advice do you offer to those who either say they never meditate or they can't meditate?
I would say, so my book has multiple meditations in it, and I'm influenced not only by A Course in Miracles, but also by mindfulness meditation, which is something that I've done a lot of professional training in. And I always say to people who feel like they can't meditate that mindfulness is for you, because it doesn't mean you need a quiet mind. In fact, if you sit and close your eyes and try to quote unquote meditate and have 1,000 thoughts, that means you're normal. That means you have a brain that is active and working. And so there's actually a way we can work with that monkey mind. Rather than getting upset or frustrated that our mind isn't quiet, we can instead notice every time that we drift and choose to come back to an anchor, just like we brought our attention to our feet before, or to that place in our body where we feel guidance. We can pick any place, any anchor in our sensory experience that we can return our attention to over and over. So if you pick whatever part of your body where you felt that guidance, where you felt directed when we did that exercise earlier, that can be your anchor spot. And when you notice you drift, you just notice that you drifted, you don't judge it, and you choose to come back. So that's a formal way of practicing meditation. An informal way, let's say it's even hard to sit still for a minute, just go do what you need to do. Go wash your dishes at the sink, but just wash the dish. Just do one thing at a time and be fully present to the experience of washing the dish, smelling the soap, feeling the hot water and the bubbles. And that's a mindfulness practice, because you're choosing to tune in to that experience rather than letting your mind drift to something else. When it does drift, you notice it, you don't judge it, and you choose to come back to what you're doing. So there's this informal way of meditating every moment of the day.
Absolutely. Like they said in the Karate Kid movie, chop wood, wax on, wax off.
Exactly. Exactly. Wisdom from Karate Kid.
Wisdom from Karate Kid. That's right. You know, it's funny. I find that when I'm working in my day job and I'm focusing on putting an engineering proposal together for a customer, that for me is like a mindfulness meditation, because my entire focus is dedicated to that one task at that time.
Yeah, that's it. That's beautiful. And we are so, in our culture today, in our world today, pulled away from the present moment because we feel like we have to do 1,000 things at once, or, you know, we're typing and getting a notification on our phone. It's this endless distraction that is being presented to us. And so that's beautiful. Even at work, just doing one task at a time and focusing on it is a mindfulness practice. So that's beautiful and another example of how we can incorporate this into our daily lives.
Absolutely. And from anxiety to love, you have a simple three-step method for healing. Please share.
Yes. So this is based on A Course in Miracles, and it's going to sound very simple. So simple that you might go through it in your mind and be like, okay, nothing happened, now what? So for those folks, this is how I break these three steps down more in the book, but they go like this. Step number one, find your willingness to see your problem differently. So if it's anxiety, find your willingness to see your anxiety differently, or whatever your problem is. Willingness is the precursor for change. We must be willing to change before change happens. So if we can find our willingness, that's everything. Now, I want to just add something here, because if, let's say, your problem is a relationship problem, if you are radically honest, you might not want to see it differently because you're right and they're wrong. So we have to be very honest that if we're not willing to see a problem differently, we have to be honest about that. And if that's the case for anybody listening, I offer a little trick in my book. If you are not willing to see something differently, ask yourself, am I willing to be willing to see that relationship problem differently or that anxiety problem differently? And okay, yeah, I'm not willing to see it differently, but I'm willing to be willing to see it differently. So there again is your willingness. You found it. So step one, find your willingness to see your problem differently. Step number two, give that willingness over to your inner therapist and ask for the miracle instead. So this part of our mind, this right-mindedness, this sane part of our mind, knows that we are love. It knows of our truth, of our eternal nature, and it is ready and waiting to give us miracles, to give us these shifts and these expressions, these feelings of love. So we can give our willingness over to our inner therapist. Again, you can think about this, whatever word you want, your higher mind, your wise mind, your highest self, whatever the word you use doesn't matter. So give your willingness over to your inner therapist and ask for the miracle. And then the third step is to trust that it's done. So A Course in Miracles teaches that the answer is given the moment we ask. The answer is already there. Again, just have to accept that we are whole. We just have to accept that we have not changed truth by seemingly being, you know, in this place of separation. Trusting that it's done means that we've handed it over and I'm gonna just receive the answer the moment I'm ready to receive it. But many of us get to this step and we're like, okay, I handed it over, you know, nothing's happening, now what? And so this is where maybe we're not actually ready to trust. Maybe we need to do a little bit more looking at, you know, some of the positive benefits of keeping our problem, or maybe we think we're better off at problem solving apart from our inner therapist and we want to hang on to that problem and keep worrying about it. So this third step can be the hardest step, but it is an essential step, because if we are constantly going through only the first two steps, meaning I'm willing, you know, inner therapist, help me, help me, help me, help me. If we're only doing that, we're filling our minds with chatter, and we need to create that open space for that shift to come in. And that's where trusting or getting quiet can be really helpful.
You know, it reminds me of the old story of this very pious man who goes to his place of worship one day, and he gets down on his hands and knees before the altar and says, please help me. My wife has to have surgery. I have no money. Please let me win the lottery. A week goes by and nothing happens. He goes back to that same place of worship on his knees, and this time he's renting his clothes. Please, I don't understand. I'm a pious man. I've always been a good man. Allow me to win the lottery to have my wife have the surgery. A week goes by, nothing happens. The third week, he's now crying. He's crying bitterly. I don't understand. What have I done to offend you? Please, please, let me win the lottery so my wife can have the surgery. And he hears a voice say, buy the ticket first. How many of us will ask and not be willing to buy the ticket, to be part of that willingness to heal.
That's a perfect story. That's a perfect story. We have to show up. We have to show up and do the work. That's beautiful.
Absolutely. What would you like readers to take away from Anxiety to Love?
I want people to walk away with tons of hope. Everything that I teach, I walk. I've lived through this. I have been diagnosed actually with 4 different anxiety disorder diagnoses and probably met criteria for more, but 4 was enough. And so I hope people will walk away with realizing that light and love is already in them. I hope that this motivates the reader to work these healing principles, to know that we can wake up to the boundless love that exists within all of us, and that an anxiety-free life is possible. When we touch these experiences of remembering love, when we have these divine moments of remembering this love, it's like, why did we ever defend against it? It is so good. And it doesn't mean we go anywhere. It means that we now are here and are able to share and extend to others what we've learned. So I want folks to know that they don't walk alone, because love is always with us.
Wonderful words from our guest. And I just want to share that your being with us during this interview, being with me tonight, is a miracle unto itself, because I'm actually going through a challenge in my life right now. And talking to you has reminded me of the things that I learned years ago and reawakened me to the Course in Miracles and to the teachings and to what you're talking about in the Inner Therapist. And it will be very helpful in my life going forward. Thank you so much for being here. And you know, when you need something in life, if you ask for it, it absolutely shows up. And thank you for showing up for me.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. My heart's full.
And Corinne, please tell our listeners one more time where they can get your book and find out about your work.
My website is my book title, which is FromAnxietyToLove.com. You can get the book through the website, on Amazon, anywhere books are sold. So I really look forward to connecting with you.
Corinne Zepko, thank you so much for joining us this evening. This was an absolute delight.
Thank you so much. It was so much fun.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.